loving Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word this morning with reverence. And oh God, we just ask that you who came down with a shout in this hour might help each and every one of us to become so in sync with that shout, as the prophet would talk about the conductor in the orchestra and how each member of the orchestra moved with the conductor's wish. And so, Father, you are the great conductor. Help us, Father, as we are concluding, Lord, the message, the rising of the sun, that your prophet brought on Easter, 1965. And we ask you, Father, to help us, oh God, to may the Son of Righteousness arise within each and every one of us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I have just a short sermon, and then I'm going to turn it over to our brother Modesto. Modesto means is it French? Modesto?
Portuguese.
Portuguese. And it means modest. It's a good name. All right. And of course, he's from Cabinda, Angola. Now this morning we're going to look at paragraph 128, which is, we have four more paragraphs to finish. From the rising of the sun, where Brother Branham said, God bless you, I've kept you here a long time. If them people is still on the telephone, they sure, at 50 cents a minute, they'd really paid this morning. But I just couldn't stop at that hour, I just had to go on. Now, the Lord willing, I'll be back tonight to talk to you again. And if I can't, and then you all know, I'm supposed to, well, we're not on the phone? We're on telephone no more? Okay, not on telephone no more. You all know where I'm going, don't you? I'm going to Africa. I've called for a long time, for years I've tried to get back. Now, a vision, the Spirit of the Lord has prepared the way. And they said, when these poor natives heard it, that I didn't come the last time when and there. And they laid on the ground day and night and moaned and cried, saying, Lord, what have we done? Thousands of them. Those people don't even believe that they've got a soul, see? And they cried and they moaned and they cried, and don't you send no, and then he tells the people, don't you send no word ahead, please don't. See, if that visa would happen to go through there and get amongst of them ministers, they'd stop me right there. I have to go in as a hunter. Now, we went on to show last week how that Satan always tries to hinder the word going forth, and he uses his ministers to do it. I believe it was Jesus in Matthew 23. He said, they will not go in themselves, and neither will they allow them that are going in to enter. Now, the Apostle Paul told us in Galatians 1, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for neither received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And of course we know that Paul's conversion came directly from God himself, as he has shown himself to Paul in the form of the pillar of fire and revealed himself to Paul. Now, what I would like to focus on for the next few moments this morning, before our brother Modesto comes to preach for us, I want to focus on what Paul said, especially in verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Therefore, we should consider this very carefully. And therefore, we should take the word just as he said it. In other words, as Peter taught us, that the Scripture is of no private interpretation. This is a problem not only in Christianity today, where there's probably 2,000 denominations by none. But there's many organizations within the message. Clicks here, clicks there, clicks here, clicks there. Some people all tapes only. Some people, they've got, you know, two thunders or seven thunders and two souls and whatever the doctrines are, and they form clicks around those things. That's organization. And Brother Branham said you can have two people get together and they can form a denomination. So even though the message itself, which is Christ, see, you can't denominate Christ, but you call yourself a Christian and denominate. And yet you're not a Christian just because you call yourself, because the word Christian means Christ-like. Now, in 2 Peter 1:20 we read, knowing this verse that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Therefore, God's Word says what He means, and His Word means what He said. And that is what broke the union between God and man, and that is what broke the oneness and fellowship of God that He had with His son Adam, and it broke up life. To break the continuity of Scripture or give it another meaning than what it was written is to give another nature to it and therefore another spirit altogether. I preached a sermon here not so long ago, maybe a couple years ago, and showed that the false doctrine will bring a false spirit. All right. In other words, the words that you hold on to, They'll either produce, if it's a genuine word, it'll produce genuine spirit. If it's not a genuine word, it won't produce a genuine spirit. So then it's no longer the same spirit, but it's another spirit. Then it's no longer the same message, but another message. It's another gospel. And notice Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. So removed from who? He said they have removed themselves from Christ, from God, removed themselves, and where were they removed to? He said, to another gospel. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Yes, sir, he said they left Christ for another gospel. Another gospel. Now, the Greek word Paul used here that was translated as another is the Greek word heteros. Now, the word heteros means different, but not altogether different, but rather of a different nature or another nature. We say heterosexual because it's of two people of a different nature, all right, man and woman. When we use the word hetero in our English language, we usually place it as an adjective before a noun. We say a man is a heterosexual, meaning he is attracted to the opposite sex. So Paul is saying they left Christ for a gospel or message of a different nature than the one he preached. Therefore, if it is a gospel of another nature, a different nature, then it must be of a different spirit, right? And Paul goes on to say it is not another, as if something different in substance, but it's heteros. Now, in Galatians 1:7, he says, which is not another. He says, it's another. He says, it's not another. It's another. He says, it's not another. What do you mean, Paul? If you look at the Greek word, you see he's using two different Greek words. He says, it's another, it's a heteros, it's of a different nature, it's a different nature, the gospel is a different nature, but it's not another, it's not an allos, it's not totally different message. Alright? Now, this word another is not translated from the same Greek word heteros, meaning different in nature, but rather from a Greek word allos, which means different altogether. But notice Paul said it is not allos, it is not an altogether different gospel. And then he would explain why when he says, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's not a totally different one, it's about 99% the same. But there's a 1% curveball thrown in there. I don't know if you know baseball, but you know, they throw the ball on it. They put a little spin on it and it curves before it gets to the batter, so the batter misses. So you see, the reason it is a perverted gospel is because its nature has changed from what Paul taught. Notice the Apostle Paul tells us it is perverted gospel with a perverted nature. Now, I've gone and showed many times that the Greek word, when it says, he that hath the doctrine of Christ hath life. All right? And the word hath is the Greek word echo, and it simply means to give back in the same way, same resonance, the same inflection and everything else. You can quote the message and be wrong. Like Billy Paul used to testify, he'd say, you know, I'd say things that Daddy said to my sister, and she started bawling, and I said, well, what are you crying for? I just said what Daddy said. She said, but you're not saying it the way he said it. So you can say the same thing. That's why the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing, not reading. Hearing the gospel. Because you can read it, and that's why they have trouble with translation. Because sometimes, if Brother Branham says something jokingly, or in a way which is sarcastically, and they just write it down, they don't catch the sarcasm because they don't catch the inflection. They should really put in parentheses sarcastic, you know, to show the inflection. It's like, you know, if two guys are looking at a woman, and one says, "She's really beautiful," and the other one says the exact same words, but he says it sarcastically. "She's really beautiful." Now they both said the identical same words. If you read it, you'd think they're both saying the same thing. But in the English, we put a question mark after that, and that tells us kind of how to read it. Or we put
an exclamation
point, and that tells you that they really mean it. Question mark, they don't mean it. Exclamation mark, they mean it. All right? So, but the word pervert was taken from the Greek word metastrepho, which means literally to change the mind. In other words, these men crept in and got the people to change their mind concerning the nature and the characteristics of the word that God had presented. Paul said that the people in his day had come to the place where they were worshiping another Jesus and using the same gospel but presenting it in a perverted manner, and thus the people heard a gospel of a different nature and were receiving a spirit of a different nature as well. This is all the beginning of the great deception. We find in the first church age, at the end of the age, the Holy Spirit says, that you left your first love. Now, in the next church age, Irenaeus came along and nailed down the fact that the people had gone back into idolatry and pagan worship, all the while trying to prove their doctrine using the scriptures alongside of old wise fables. In other words, instead of just preaching the gospel straight, they had to add this and add that and add this to build a case. All right. Irenaeus, who was a messenger to the second church age, put it so well when he spoke of a master sculptor who took gems and fashioned them into the likeness of a king. He fitted the gems so well together that there was no disputing the fact that they formed the image of the king. But he says, and these men come along, and they take the same, they bust the image of the king all up. They take the same jewels, the same golden nuggets, the same folks, okay? And they put them together in such a way as to form the image of a dog or a fox. And he said, and that even not very well done. But the ignorant come along and look only at the gem, only at the quote, and then in turn they say, oh yeah, that must be the image of a king. And that's what we do with the gospel. Every denomination does it. They do it right in this message. They take quotes out of place. Like Brother Brown said, you can misplace it, misinterpret it, etc. All right? Now, I already said, inasmuch as certain men have set the truth aside, remember Paul says the same thing. Paul said they've moved away. They've removed themselves from the one who purchased them, from the gospel of Christ unto another gospel. Inasmuch as certain men have set the truth aside and bring in lying words, bring in right into the message. Lying words and vain genealogies, which, as the apostle says, minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. You see, that's just like these people that have departed altogether, and they question this, they question that. Listen, when a man has, thus saith the Lord. Brother Brown was not vindicated by the picture. Pictures don't vindicate. Pictures can be, we don't today, you can take that same picture and put your face in it and say, see, I'm vindicated. Vindication, there's only one evidence of vindication in the scripture, and that is thus saith the Lord. And when a man comes with thus saith the Lord, and it comes to pass, that's it. That's the one you fear. But notice as these lay aside the truth, bring in lying words and vain genealogies, which, as the apostle says, ministers question rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. And by means of their craftily constructed plausibilities, they draw away the minds of the inexperienced, and they take them captive. He said, I felt constrained, my dear friend, to compose the following treatise in order to expose and counteract their machinations. These men falsify the oracles of God and prove themselves evil interpreters of the good word of revelation. They also overthrow the faith of many by drawing them away. Away from where? From the truth. They draw them away under a pretense of superior knowledge from Him who rounded and adorned the universe, as if, in truth, they had something more excellent and sublime to reveal than that God who created the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein. Therefore, by means of specious and plausible words, they cunningly allure the simple-minded to inquire into their system. But they nevertheless clumsily destroy them while they initiate them into their blasphemous and impious opinions respecting the creation. And these simple ones are unable, even in such a matter, to distinguish falsehood from truth. That's why I have always said, always, every day you should be listening to those tapes and hearing the voice of God. As Brother Brown said, say what's on the tapes and say only what's on the tapes. He continues, error indeed is never set forth in its naked deformity, lest being thus exposed it should be at once detected. But it is craftily decked out in an attractive dress, so as by its outward form to make it appear to the inexperienced, ridiculous as the expression may seem, more true than truth itself. A clever imitation in glass casts contempt, as it were, on the precious jewel, the emerald, which is most highly esteemed by some, unless it comes under the eye of one able to test and expose the counterfeit. Or again, what inexperienced person can with ease detect the presence of brass when it is mixed up with silver? Lest, therefore, through my neglect, some should be carried off, even as sheep are by wolves, while they perceive not the true character of these men, because they outwardly are covered with sheep's clothing, against whom the Lord has warned us to be on our guard, and because their language resembles ours, while their sentiments are very different. I have deemed it my duty, after reading some of the commentaries, as they call them, of the disciples of Valentinus, and after making myself acquainted with their tenets through personal intercourse with some of them, to unfold to thee, my friend, these portentous and profound mysteries, which do not fall within the range of every intellect, because all have not sufficiently purged their brains. Now, he said it before Lee Bell. In fact, he said it before Brother Brown. Brother Brown actually says that. I do this in order that thou obtaining, Brother Brown said that. He said, what they need is their brains baptized, more than their bodies. I do this in order that thou obtaining an acquaintance with these things, mayest in turn explain them to all those with whom thou art connected, and exhort them to avoid such an abyss of madness and blasphemy against Christ. I intend then, to the best of my ability, with brevity and clearness, to set forth the opinions of those who are now promulgating heresy. I refer especially to the disciples of Plotinus, whose school may be described as a bud from that of Valentius. I shall also endeavor, according to my moderate ability, to furnish the means of overthrowing them by showing how absurd and inconsistent with the truth are their statements. Not that I am practiced either in composition or eloquence, but my feeling of affection prompts me to make known to thee and all thy companions those doctrines which have been kept in concealment until now, but which are at last, through the goodness of God, brought to light, for there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor secret that shall not be made known. He quotes the Apostle Paul quite a bit. Now notice the Apostle Paul called it perverted gospel. Not a different one altogether, for they still use the same words, Christ and Holy Spirit and Word and Church and Token and Presence and things like that. But when you listen to what they have to say, it's altogether of a different nature. You know, Brother Branham showed us Christ. How many of the preachers do that? How many of the people do that? You know, you can believe something and repeat it over and over and over again, and you're going to believe that it's true. Brother Brown said you could repeat a lie over and over again and believe it's true. So we're not doubting people's sincerity, but they're sincerely wrong unless they stay right with this word. Brother Brown said, this is my absolute. And if you can't take what Brother Brown said back to the scripture, you don't know what he's saying. All right. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11, 1-4, and read what the Apostle Paul said in warning the Corinthian church. He said, I would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, now that word another was translated from the Greek word allos, meaning different altogether, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, now notice this word another was translated from heteros, meaning of a different nature, which you have not received, or another gospel, a gospel of a different nature, again heteros, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with it. Now, he's not saying you might well bear with him as though, you know, it's okay. He says, why do you put up with it? They come preaching a totally different Jesus because he got a gospel of a different nature. And the people are receiving a different spirit. Listen, you want to measure the spirit of a person. We had an example in this hour. Brother Brown is as close to Jesus Christ as anybody that's lived in this day. All right? But he said, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Now the expanded Bible puts it this way. You are very patient to willingly put up with or gladly tolerate anyone who comes to you and preaches a different Jesus from the one we preach. You are very willing to accept a spirit that is different from the spirit you receive or a gospel that is different from the one that you accepted or received from us. The NIV says, why do you do it? Why do you do it? Why do you put up with it? Now, I like the way the message, it's called the message, but it's actually it's just a different version of the scripture. It says, it seems that someone shows up preaching quite another Jesus than we preach, different spirit, different message, and you put up with him quite nicely. But if you put up with these big shot apostles, why can't you put up with simple me? I'm as good as they are. It's true that I don't have their voice, haven't mastered their smooth eloquence that impresses you so much. But when I do open my mouth, I at least know what I'm talking about. We haven't kept anything back. We let you in on everything. Here we see Paul telling us that the message of a different nature will bring with it a different spirit, and present to you a totally different Jesus altogether than he preached. They could be presenting a gospel using the same quotes, same scriptures, and yet because they have a wrong understanding, they will be presenting a totally different Jesus while claiming to believe the same Jesus Paul believed. In other words, they're not echoing, they're just quoting. They're not echoing, they're just repeating. Always remember and never forget, unless you have the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Christ Jesus and in Paul, you will never understand the things of God. You'll never understand the things Paul wrote or the things that William Branham said.
Right.
1 Corinthians 2 and 9 tells us, for as it is written, I have not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, there's only one the Spirit, that's God's Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. So if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to know. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. There's your key right there. We receive the Spirit of God that we might know, for the purpose of knowing and understanding the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them. That means it's impossible for him to know the things of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. It takes the Spirit of God to know the things of God. But he that is spiritual or spirit-filled judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? Again, for my readings against the heresies, he said, how the Valentinians pervert the scripture to support their own pious opinions. Such then is their system, which neither the prophets announced, nor the Lord taught, nor the apostles delivered, but of which they boast that beyond all others they have perfect knowledge. They gather their views from other sources than the Scriptures, and to use a common proverb, they strive to weave ropes of sand while they endeavor to adapt for an air of probability to their own peculiar assertions, the parables of the Lord, the sayings of the prophets, the words of the apostles, in order that their schemes may not seem altogether without support. In other words, they'll throw in a quote from Brother Brown here and there, they'll throw in a maybe Bible verse from here and there, but then they add a lot of their own stuff. In doing so, however, they disregard the order and the connection of the Scripture, and so far as in them lies, they dismember and destroy the truth. By transferring passages and dressing them up anew and making one thing out of another, they succeed in deluding many through their wicked art of adapting the oracles of the Lord to their own opinions. Their manner of acting is just as if one, when a beautiful image of the king has been constructed by some skillful artist out of precious jewels, should then take this likeness of the man all to pieces, should rearrange the gems and so fit them together as to make them into the form of a dog or a fox, and even that but poorly executed, and should then maintain and declare that this is the beautiful image of the king, which the skillful artist constructed, pointing to the jewels, which have been admirably fitted together by the first artist to form the image of the king, but have been with bad effect transferred by the latter one to the shape of a dog, and by thus exhibiting the jewels should deceive the ignorant who had no conception what a king's form was like, and persuade them that that miserable likeness of the fox was in fact the beautiful image of the king. In other words, they take the word and they twist it to their own destruction. And they say, this, what I'm presenting to you, is the image of the king. And people say, oh, glory to God, that's the image of the king. Brother Brandon said it, didn't he? Jesus said it, didn't he? Paul said it, didn't he? In like manner, these do these persons patch together old wives' fables and then endeavor by violently drawing away from their proper connection words, expressions, and parables whenever found to adapt the oracle of God to their baseless fictions. We have already stated how far they proceed in their way with respect to the interior of the fullness. And so he gets into showing how they actually went off in their understanding of the Godhead. Instead of a father and a son, they got into the thing where the fullness of the Godhead was in the bride. And so for every masculine attribute of God, he had a female attribute, which is in Christ, we have a female attribute in the bride. And it's just totally, totally pathetic. But we have people in this message preaching that. They take a tumbler full of water. It's all within the Father. He poured it into the Son. And now they throw away the Father tumbler and they say everything's in the Son. Now they took all that was in the Son and was poured into the church. And now they put away the Son. And now everything's in the church. And that's hogwash. That's totally deceptive. All that was in the Father was poured into the Son. Now you have two full glasses. It's God life. The Spirit is life. Jesus said, my words are Spirit and they're life. The Word of God, the Logos that went out of God, went into the vessel. Now you have two vessels. Brother, I said, now you have two, Father and Son. And now all that was in the Son was poured into the church, and now you have three vessels. You have the Father, you have Christ, and then you have the many-membered body of Jesus Christ. All with the same God life. If the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body by the same Spirit. We are baptized by one Spirit into one body. See? So you don't do away with one. That's heresy. Now, how many foolish people try and twist Brother Branham's words? The oneness believe he is a Trinitarian, while the Trinitarian believe he's a oneness. Others try to make him say things that he never said. And some claim he taught that you do not need to understand, you only need to believe. He never taught that. He explicitly taught that only the elect will understand. Only the elect will not be deceived. How can you believe without knowing what you believe? Years ago, I had a minister. He was a oneness minister. And he heard I preached 75 sermons on Brother Ram's sermon, Oneness. And he was so excited because he wanted to see all these 75 sermons that Brother Ram had preached on oneness. He thought the message oneness of Brother Ram was about unity, Unitarianism. Basically Jesus only. It wasn't. It was about oneness between man and God, which comes through the Word. It had nothing to do with oneness theology. It had all to do with a uniting of the bride. to the Word. All right? Now, I hope you understand how important it is to know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. Not only should you know the truth, but also you should love it. For if you do not love it, it is right there that you are placing yourself in a position to be deceived. Because we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unright wiseness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, which the word unrighteous means unright wiseness. In other words, they had pleasure in an error. And so we see here that because they love not the truth, God Himself will send them strong delusion that will cause them to leave the truth. Now, if you think for 1 minute that you are more than able to resist what God sends, you had better not fool yourself. God is ever watchful of your attitude. Remember, He knows the very innermost thoughts that you have, and you've got to love it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, or you will open yourself up for deception. In 1 Timothy 4, 1-2, we read, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's happening, we see today. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. These are hypocritical lies because they know better, but they refuse to teach the truth. The Scripture does not tell us some shall depart from faith, but it says from the faith, and we know that that faith is a revelation, and there's only one revelation, and that in the Scripture speaks of, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Brother Brown himself told us in the rapture tape, he said, faith is a revelation. All right? Now, in closing, I'd just like to read the two more paragraphs from Brother Brown where he mentions about his Africa trip, because, and then I'm going to turn the service over to Brother Modesto. Brother Brown said, I'm going up to the Queen that brought 17 train loads down and come down to the meeting, and I get to go up and hunt on her territory, and I go in, and my passport and everything calls for a hunter, not a religious service. Then there's going to be one brother meet me and say, why don't you have a little meeting for us? The stadiums are already rented. They don't even know it, see? Oh, glory. Pray that God will, that the will of God will be not be hindered, that my soul that cried for Africa since I left, may I be able to return again and then bring you a message of that great meeting. Now, people take this and say, well, see, Brother Brown's saying he had a vision and this is going to happen just the way he said it. No, this was his desire, that a brother would say, okay, you know, you're here to hunt, but, you know, why don't you come and preach for us? And we've already made arrangements and that. That was his heart's desire, but it didn't happen. We read you last week with Brother Brown over there in May 27th of 1965, his sermon to the people in Africa at that time, he said, I'm sorry, but I can't preach. You know, they invited him at the church service, they invited him to come up, he said, I'm sorry, but I can't preach. He said, my visa says restricted, and we must render to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. He said, it pains me to do so, but he said, I must obey the word of God, basically. And we also read in the beginning of the service where he said, don't let the pastors know, because if they get a hold of it, they'll do everything they can to keep me from preaching. So Brother Brown had a desire to go, but he also had the ministry that we're trying to define. As I mentioned last week, when Brother Vail was with Brother Brown in New York, they invited Brother Brown to preach in New York. They had a great big hall they rented, and they had billboards all over the city, and people came by the thousands, and then they refused to let Brother Brown out of his study. He didn't even get to go up and preach. So Brother Bell said, let's forget the preachers. Let's bypass the preachers altogether and let's just go to the people. And Brother Bell said, no. He said, it's God's way. We've got to go through the preachers. So see, there are a lot of people who say, tapes only, tapes only, tapes only. Forget the preachers. They're all a bunch of phonies. No, they're not all a bunch of phonies. There's at least five. There's at least a fivefold ministry out there that is a true fivefold. It doesn't matter if the rest are phony. Brother Brown said, look, we've got to use God's provided way. And paragraph 130. I probably won't see you no more from today until I return. We're going in just in a few days now, the 10th of May. Will you pray for me? Now remember, You don't know what troubles are till you hit there. Witch doctors on every side and devils. And don't think that they don't know what to do, see? And you better know what you're talking about when you stand before them. That happened to me. We had 250 ministers come. We invited 60. And the ministers that come went before me, before I got there for a whole week, went to all the churches and said, don't come, don't hear what Brian Sore preaches, because he preaches leave out two gods. I've never preached two gods in my life. I preached just one God, and he had a son, his brother Brian did. He's using the same quotes and same scriptures. I give you 365 scriptures showing the difference between the Father and the Son. Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Brother Brian said, God abandoned him in Gethsemane. So how did he walk to the cross? You see, people don't know their Bibles. And so we had 250 ministers there, and they wanted to set a trap. And as we were traveling across Africa, we had the brothers. We had 12 brothers who were traveling with me, and they were locals. And I believe that my ministry was to get the ministers together, give them the doctrine as Brother Brown taught it, and then leave it up to them. If they go and teach it, they can. If they don't, they don't. But that's their business, and they'll be held accountable whether they do or not. And so the questions would come, and so they gave us about a dozen questions, and so we went to lunch, and I distributed those to the ministers. The way we worked was they would answer the question, and if there was any further needing of scripture, I would get up afterwards and add to what they had to say. So we got back from eating lunch, and one of the deacons came up and said, Pastor Brian said, they've made a trap for you. And I said, what's that? He said, well, after you left, they put together 15 more questions that were very, very difficult questions. And they're sitting on the pulpit. And so I said, okay, that's fine. So I preached my sermon that morning to the ministers, and I had the brothers answer the questions. And then I walked up to the pulpit, and I said, now, I understand there was a trap laid for us, because I don't beat around the bush. I said, I understand there was a trap laid for us, and you've seen there's a stack here of questions that I never distributed to the ministers. I said, I'm going to answer those myself. And I took those 15 questions, and in less than 10 to 15 minutes, I gave 2 to 3 scriptures for every question that was given. And just if you listen to the tape, you hear it just sound like my voice was like a machine gun, just rattling off, boom, 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 and that was the Spirit of God doing it. And I challenged those ministers, just like Brother Brown challenged the 400 in Chicago. And I said, if you can prove by scripture that what I'm teaching is not true, I said, come up here and stand next to me, and we'll see who's right. Not one muscle moved. They just stood there. They just sat in their chairs. Why? Because it was all their own concepts. But they don't know their Bibles, and they don't know the message. And yet, because they're big shots, and because they have a leadership spirit on them, they find a group that's willing to follow them, because sheep are sheep. But remember, goats lead the sheep to the slaughter. So, he says, and you better know what you're talking about, because when you stand before them, but I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, there's some handkerchiefs laying here, dear God, as this message this morning of the resurrection and me standing there, Lord, and proven by the word that quickening power is in the believing child. Therefore, upon believing in faith that quickening power has changed my life and these people believe, Lord, and it changed their lives, and we pray for one another, I'm laying my hands upon their handkerchiefs, that may God, who quickened Jesus Christ and brought him from the dead, and that spirit that raised him up from the dead be dwelling in our bodies. The spirit that was upon the body of Elijah, that after he is dead and nothing but bones, it had quickening power in them. The hands of the apostles had quickening power in them. The minds of the apostles, the sight of the apostles, the tongues of the apostles, all had quickening power. Now may the quickening power, as I lay this word upon them in my hands to present a possessor by grace of that quickening power, may it quicken every one of these sick bodies, and they may be made whole. God, through Jesus Christ's name, may it not only for these handkerchiefs, but for those people out there in the audience everywhere that's suffering, those little children, elderly people, whatever they are, may that quickening power quicken them right now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's bow his word. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the short message, and we now pray that you give us the grace to hear our brother Modesto, who has traveled halfway around the world from Angola to Binda. And so, Lord, we just ask that you bless him. And Father, I was to meet him in 2010. We did meet, and he had arranged for meetings in Angola, but it was through politics of the churches that would not cooperate, that we were not able to come. And so we see that same spirit that was against Paul, the same spirit that Irenaeus talked about in the second church age. We see that same spirit all through the ages, even against Brother Branham in his day, and now even in ours, Lord, 50 to 60 years after Brother Branham has gone off the scene. We see that same spirit propping up his head. But Father, we ask that you would bless our brother and anoint him with words that would be good for us to hear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let me just take this off and continue.
Well, the Lord bless you. I don't speak English. I speak Portuguese and French. I don't know what's wrong. It's going to be. I thank the Lord for this opportunity he gave me to be in your presence this morning to preach the bride of Christ. And I thank the pastor for this opportunity. We met with Pastor Brown in 2010 in Kinshasa. And I really, I started preaching the message in 1996, but I was the oneness in the message. But since I received this booklet of Brother Brian, examined it with the scripture and the Bible, and the prophet is preaching the same gospel that we are hearing this morning. Let's stand for the reading of the word. This doctrine of Christ has been a blessing for my church. And if God willing, we'll have next year Brother Brian in Angola to have special meetings. So I ask the church to pray for this. We're going to read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and also in John chapter 4, 28 till 30. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. John 4, 28 till 30. The woman left then the water pot and went away into the city and said to the man, come, see a man which told me all things that I have did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Let's bow our head for the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you gave us this morning to speak to the bride of Christ. Father, we are unworthy to stand here to talk, but I need you, Father, to help me to let the Holy Ghost take over the meeting and put the vessel aside and talk to your people. I bless the pastor and bless all the congregation and bless Israel in your people and bless the bride around the world. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I will ask some questions. The title of my preaching is, what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? Amen. As an individual, now the prophet says, now, the Holy Spirit is the Word. God is the Word. He is the same God in three dispensations, three offices, God the Father over the law, God the Son in grace, and God the Holy Ghost, as you call it. The same God in the Holy Ghost dispensation. God the Father, the Word was the Word. God the Son was the Word, and God the Holy Ghost is the Word. See, it's just three offices, and the Holy Ghost seals you. There you are sealed by the Word.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is at the end of the people, and it's at the end of the church. What will you do with this Jesus that's called the Christ, the Word of this hour? The word Christ means the anointed one. See, what shall I do with it? What's my move? What can I do with this Jesus that's called Christ? What did the word call out? Crucify it, stop it. We don't need no more. What shall we do with Jesus, this Jesus called Christ? January 26, 1964. The prophet said, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent yourself, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, unto your children, and them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call them. How far? To all the world, to every nation. Said it was to every nation. Go unto the world. It hasn't reached there yet. Preach the gospel to every nature. The sign shall follow the apostles. That's what the prophet says. The sign shall follow the evangelist. The sign shall follow those who believe. Amen. Listen, are you going to wash that from your hands? You cannot do it. It's vindicated and throw it right back in your lap. It's backfired just like it did on Pilate. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It comes back again.
Amen.
When you see the scripture identified right before you, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking the church. I'm not asking the assembly of God. I'm not asking the oneness, the church of God, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians. This morning, I'm asking you.
Amen.
You as an individual, what do you do with this message, with this word, this anointed way? I'm asking you as an individual, brother and sister, what do you do with the blood of Jesus Christ? What will we do with this anointed word of God that's right before us today, that we know is to be the Christ, the promise of this hour? What shall you do with it? Not what your church does with it. Your Caesar or your Herod has nothing to do with it. That didn't excuse Pilate. No, sir. No, sir. In the message, the deity of Jesus Christ, December 25th, 1949. Now I'm speaking this morning on the deity of Christ, so that you know who is that we are worshiping today. Not a baby in a manger, or not Santa Claus, but we are worshiping Almighty God in the deity of His Son. Amen? Notice, then that blood came down, and it was Christ Jesus. And God Himself came out of spirit, went into Christ. God is a spirit. He went into the vessel Christ. Jesus. It's here. Amen? He went to Christ, Jesus. And the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Is that right? The congregation said, Amen, it's right. God Himself, Jehovah, lived in Christ and was making kinsman to us, because he was born in a human flesh like we are. Is that right? The congregation said, Amen. The blood cells were developed by God, and the flesh cells were developed by Mary that bring forth the child. Are you ready? Listen to this. God came down and lived in a human flesh and was tempted in every manner just like we are. Do you believe that? Amen. All right. Now then, when did that he freely give his blood? He didn't have to do it, but he made that sacrifice. He could have went right up into glory. He could have been transfigured like he was on the Mount Transfiguration, went out into the heaven, and never died for us. But to be willingly to die for us, he gave freely his own blood at Calvary. That's what. And he picked it out. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and made a public testimony like Boaz to redeem Naomi, lost estate, made a public testimony. And that's the same thing Christ did. He made a public testimony at the gate of Jerusalem when he was beaten, smitten, afflicted, and was led up at Calvary to Golgotha Hill and buffeted the hill with his own blood as a public testimony that he had redeemed all. The fallen state from back yonder in the beginning and has redeemed his people from the curse of sin and from the clutch of hell. And knowing that she, the bride, would need something more in the last days, she's got now, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He will abide with you forever. A little while, and the world will see me no more, but I am going to the heaven and get this thing fixed up, and I'll come back and be with you, even in you, until the end of the age. The Son of God that was in the cradle is in the heart now. He is the deity of God. He is God the Creator. He was in the Word, and the Word was made by him, and the world knew him not. And today, what's the matter with the church? Hallelujah. Today, what's the matter with the church? The hope of glory, the baptism of the Holy Ghost came into the people's hearts, and they don't recognize what it is. Amen. They think it's a little church joining. Hallelujah. Since I'm a member of Grace Tabernacle, that's it. Amen. It's a little church joining. Like that. Listen to this now. But that is the God, the Creator, living in you.
Yes.
And giving you all the powers, and you are in the possession of anything that he had. And so it is in you to abstain from evil, to do good, to shun evil and flee to the righteousness, to turn away from temptation, all malice, hatred, strife, envy, and so forth. Turn away from it, for that it will take him from you, your heart. If you receive him, embrace him and love him. I can tell you, the church together in that kind of power. I can tell you, the church together in that kind of power has the power to bind the heavens and heal the sick.
Amen.
open the eyes of the blind. Hallelujah. The deaf hear, the crippled walk, the blind see. Why? It's recognizing the power of Almighty God dwelling in your heart. Amen. There it is, the deity. And you that's got the Holy Ghost, remember, you're going to be judged for what you've done with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You might have received Christ but by the Holy Ghost, but you'll be condemned. Every man is judged according to the works done in his body.
Yes, amen.
Now listen to the question. After you receive the Holy Ghost, what have you done with it since you received the Holy Ghost in 15 years, you have the Holy Ghost. What are you doing with the Holy Ghost that you received?
Amen.
That's the question this morning. Now, the purpose in the preaching, in the message, what was the Holy Ghost given for? December 1959 says, now the purpose, what God was, God's purpose in sending the Holy Spirit is that God himself might dwell in his church and continue his plans through the church. Amen?
Amen.
When you hear the word church, don't think about this house. The church is you. Amen?
Sure. Amen.
To continue his plan through you, out of Christ into the church, continuing his work through the church. Now, when we think of God, the Father, as Jesus spoke of here, his Father, God the Son, as Jesus, God the Holy Ghost, as we call it today. Now, that does not mean there are three individuals, distinct gods. It means that there are one God in three offices. May we say it like this? All that God was, he poured into Christ, because he emptied himself and poured it into Christ. And what Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Jehovah was, he poured it in Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured it into the church, not into one individual. Amen?
Amen.
So God was so in Brother Branham, no. Into the church. Amen.
Amen.
Not into one individual, but into the entire body. There, where we come together in unity, we have power. All that God was in Christ. And all that Christ was is in you. Amen?
Amen.
Is in you. God, in order to redeem the lost church, the lost world, the lost creation, God, who is infinite in spirit, to redeem the lost human race, God himself became kinfolk, a man, a son, that he created in the womb of Mary. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The son is a creation. Amen? God is not a creation. Amen? He created a son that in the womb of Mary, and that he made an ensign or a testimony outside of the gate of Jerusalem. He was lifted up between the heavens and the earth, and he died. Amen? God cannot die.
Right.
Hallelujah. Jesus died. You see? He died and redeemed everything. And in bleeding, he sanctified a church that himself might live in and fellowship and commune with. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It's the Father again, God the Father dwelling in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
God the Father dwelling in you, working out his plan to finish his plan of redemption, working through you. making you a co-worker with him.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You are a co-worker with God the Father. Amen. Making you a co-worker with him, giving you a place, giving you a part for your fallen, lost brother or sister, giving you his spirit, who is the Holy Ghost, and his love, who is the divine love, to go out for the lost, as he did in the Garden of Eden. That's what the Holy Spirit does to a man or a woman. When it struck into the heart and takes his abode, there is a thirst and hungering for lost souls. Amen. In the message, in his presence, September the 9th, 1962, he says, look at that little prostitute down there in Samaria. That woman, she was in a bad shape, mentally and physically, but we know that. But as soon as she saw the sign done of the Messiah, she said, we know Messiah is coming to do this. You must be his prophet.
Amen.
And he said, I'm that Messiah that was wrought to come. She recognized it. She never asked it one more question.
Amen.
She started right quick with the responsibility to know that if she had found that and come to into the presence of God, she was responsible to tell somebody
else. Amen.
Amen. The prophet says, hallelujah. Right. Listen to this. Any man that comes into the presence of God is responsible before God, not before the pastor, before God to tell somebody else.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. From that minute on, to tell somebody else. I will ask you a question this morning. How many minutes are you in the message? How many minutes since you believe this message? There is something about it. When you find Christ, you cannot hold your peace no longer.
That's right.
Is that right?
Amen.
When somebody finds Christ, he cannot be quiet. Hallelujah. It says, you cannot hold your peace anymore. The rest of your days, you are a changed person. For when life, the human life, and the God's life comes together, it makes a bright light.
Amen.
True? When the bulb connects with the wire, if it's a correct bulb, it's got to give light. When the current and the bulb get together, there is nothing to do but scatter light. Amen? Listen to this. When a man or a woman is predestinated to eternal life and they see the current of God cut that bulb, it throws light everywhere it can. You might not be over a 10 watt, but you scatter the 10 watt that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Give your light. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Yes, sir. When a man comes in contact with God, he recognizes himself no good. Hallelujah. Corinthians, Book of Corinthians, April 14th, 1957. Brother, they all drank from the same rock. That rock was Christ.
Yes.
The judgment was upon Christ that you might be privileged to come and drink. It's God's goodness to you that you do eat from the word. God's goodness to you that you are permitted to be baptized God's goodness to you to make you a citizen of the kingdom, God's goodness to give you health, to set you in the church this morning. It's all God's goodness. That's all. Listen. But what about your goodness back to God?
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. What about your goodness back to God? Are you willing to submit everything, every thought, every action, everything unto Him? That's what God has done for you. What will you do for Him?
Amen.
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 That's what God has done for you. What will you as an individual do for Him? Or you say, I thank God I'm not an idolat. Wait just a minute. Let's examine it by the word. You say, I won't worship an idol. That doesn't altogether mean you worship an idol. You just be idle, doing nothing. Amen.
Amen.
Because the God of America is dollar.
Yeah.
Money, work. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not, excuse me, you say, I won't worship an idol. That doesn't altogether mean you worship an idol. You just be idle yourself, doing nothing. Go to church. Yes, that's good. Go back home. You do nothing about the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You can go to work. You can go to visit somebody. But you can't speak the word to your neighbor or to somebody about Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's keep on reading. Yeah, that's all right. You come to church, you go back home, you do nothing about it. Oh, brother, a real born again man or woman can't stand still.
Amen.
There is something in them they've got to testify.
Yes.
Hallelujah. They got to do something. They're bound to do something. They cannot hold their peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What do you do as an individual with the light of the hour? That light comes to Brother Branham. The same light comes to Brother Levi. The same light comes to Brother Brian. The same light came to you. But what do you do with that light? Hallelujah. You don't want to share it to your neighbor. When you work, there are people who don't know Brother Brown, who don't know the message. Where you start. But God gave you a mouth. But what are you speaking about? You don't speak about Jesus.
Amen.
Let's read the prophet. What do you do as an individual with the light of the hour? They cannot stand still. There is something in them. They've got to testify. They've got to do something. They are bound to do something. They can't hold their peace. Hallelujah. Say in the message, the Lamb's Book of Life. Say this. What's a value? A value. One soul saved in eternity, when that star will shine yonder, your name will be wrapped into it. There is your value. It isn't how much you got, how much you desire, it's how much you can do towards saving souls for Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He said in the message, thinking of our ways, he said, your money is filled if you don't use it for the kingdom of God or something which is good. Hallelujah. So let's save souls, brothers. Each one, you housewives, you don't have to be a preacher. Do something for the glory of God.
Yes.
Remember, eternal things is what lasts forever, and that getting soul saved. Listen, let that be the first thing of all your work. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of all your ideas, of all your motive. To finish, let's read a brushing prophet. November 25th, 1956. The prophet is saying, I am guilty. I am guilty of not doing the job of God like I should have done. I'm confessing it that I'm wrong. I'm asking God to be merciful to me. I look out here and see the opportunities I have missed because of petty things, little old insignificant things that didn't mean nothing. I am ashamed of myself as a gospel minister before you. I repent before God and ask God to forgive me for being so illiterate about the work of God. By the grace of God, by the help of God, I'm ashamed of myself as a minister of the gospel. 1 million souls won. I ought to have 10 million souls won. I'm in a way beyond. What about you? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Branham won 1 million. What about you? How many souls you won since you have been in Christ? Christianity just goes from one to another. How many souls you won since you have been a Christian? If you're not willing souls, you are guilty. You are barren. You have brought shame on the church and the gospel. How many people you get out for Wednesday night prayer meeting? If you're not doing it, you ought to be ashamed of yourself before Christ. You're guilty and your place is in the altar. I invite you to come with me for repentance. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you gave us to hear the word. Let the Holy Ghost, who spoke to us this morning, take over every individual who has received this message this morning. We are idle. We don't need to do something for you. This morning, Father, we recognize that we are wrong. Forgive us, Father. Let the Holy Ghost take control of everything. Bless the pastor. Bless this church. I summon my trip to New York this evening into your hands, Father. Let the Holy Ghost direct everything. Bless this congregation and bless my little church in Cabinda and bless Israel in this country this morning. I summon Pastor Brian into your hands. The prospective meetings that we have in Cabinda next year. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name, as asked. Amen.
Amen.
I give the soul to the pastor. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I see that there's actually, Brother Peter Gatchel did a study about a month or two ago, and he was offered by his company kind of an early retirement package. He had to offer it because he's over 55. Sorry, Peter. And you know your age. So he turned it down because he did a study, and Brother Branham said, you know, we shouldn't retire. He said that God sent us here, that we're supposed to live by the sweat of our brow until we go. And so the brother pointed out a beautiful quote this morning. There are many of them, but Brother Branham referred to idol worship as not just worshiping some idol, but being idle yourself. And let's give me some thoughts here. So I appreciate that, brother. Well, God bless you.
Yes.
Let's all stand to our feet and we'll close our service. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for our brothers coming here. We want to thank you for the words that we heard from the prophet. And Lord, it just kind of stirred within me that you're totally against us folding of the arms and falling asleep and, you know, becoming idle. You have the scriptures talk about the ant and how it says, you know, consider the ant, thou sluggard, and how he is always about. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us, give us the energy, Father, to always be about our Father's business. For we ask it humbly, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Blessing the Lord, bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.